It's the Local Beat with the Chronicle Telegram's Dave O'Brien, brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, how are we doing today?
Doing all right, Rocco. Thanks.
Good to hear. Dave, I know we enjoyed quite the Spider-Man-centric conversation before we started recording here today, so that's already got me in a good mood. So I'm already good to go, man. And I wanted to start with this first 500 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. It came into Lorain County Public Health on Monday, and again, the first 500 doses coming in. So who gets these first? Do you know exactly, you know, when people are starting to get them? What are the details with these doses of this COVID-19 vaccine?
Yeah, so like you said, the first shipment was Monday morning, and it was as my colleague Jason Hawk mentioned, it was kind of it wasn't this big pallet, it was this box that looked like it could have held a microwave oven. You know, it's this smaller box, and it's the Moderna version of the vaccine, which doesn't require having to be super cooled to negative temperatures. And it's really just, as Deputy Health Commissioner Mark Adams said, it's just really a great step forward. We're expecting that basically, EMTs, primarily like paramedics, a lot of first responders, are going to get this, are going to get this first, police officers, firefighters. And then we're going to see a second round where you're going to have, people doing primary care, people working in group homes, in long-term care facilities, other places where there's a lot of other people hanging around who are in need of care. And also, I think you're going to see some teachers as well in that first group. And then that second group is going to be, sort of the other, more important people who are doing a lot of, who are having a lot of interaction with the public. Especially in the healthcare field, and then on into other kinds of services down the line. You'll see third and possibly in fourth phases where you see a lot of people with chronic health conditions, a lot of people who are over 65, who have certain health concerns that they need that vaccine to continue sort of moving on and being and being safe down the line than the rest of us. So we will probably see, four phases, maybe even more than that. There's been some discussion. I know that Lorain County Health Commissioner Dave Cobble had said previously that he hoped everybody would be vaccinated by between April and June. Everybody that needs it would get it. That might stretch on more into the summer, according to what Dr. Fauci and some other folks in the federal government and some folks maybe in state government as well have said now, based on what's going to be available, based on the kinds of vaccines we're getting. I mean, the Pfizer vaccine, again, required super cooling, so really only hospitals could store this or like places with real deep freezes. And then after that was the Moderna vaccine, which is the one that's Lorain County received. And then after that, you're going to see at least another one from Johnson & Johnson. AstraZeneca had some problems with their vaccine, so I don't know exactly how that's going to roll out, if it's going to roll out at all. But Johnson & Johnson is a one-dose vaccine that you can keep, basically keep it cool, but then it doesn't need to be super cooled, and it's, room temperature, bam, you're done.
Wow. Easy as well, it better not hurt to take. No more tears, right? Isn't that the Johnson & Johnson slogan?
That is indeed.
Well, good to see those vaccines rolling in, like you said there, Dave. I mean, that's basically what we've all been focused on since the start of this whole thing back in March, right? When is that vaccine coming? When can we start to get back to normal? And this seems like, one of those first legitimate steps towards really getting back towards normalcy. So good news there with the vaccine for sure. The other story I wanted to touch on here with you is kind of a, one of confliction, if you will, this Chestnut Commons connector debacle, if you could call it a debacle. It looks like we've got kind of two different messages from two different parties when it comes to, when this thing will reopen, if it reopens and all that. So what details can you share with us regarding this?
Well, if folks remember, as a little bit of background, when I was covering Elyria City Council, this Chestnut Commons Connector Road travels south from Broad Street all the way down to the back of the Walmart at Chestnut Commons, connects around kind of the west side of Chestnut Commons there, the west side of the Walmart, and then down to where the city was hoping to reduce by about 20% or a little bit more the amount of traffic that you saw, you know, south of the Walmart, where people were just trying to get into the single entrance there at Chestnut Commons to get to the medical offices, the BMV, Walmart, some of the fast food restaurants that are there on the, in the Chestnut Commons development. And traffic was just horrendous. I mean, I think we all can agree on that. Long lines, lines to the lights, people stuck in the middle of the intersection at a red light after trying to make a turn or just trying to travel straight through. Now we're hearing that basically as of Monday, it's possible that the city might open the road within the next few days, but they were waiting for some feedback from the insurance company about liability issues. There's some concerns about that. Also, Law Director Amanda Deary for the City of Elyria, she said the road shouldn't open until an outside, you know, legal representative can review and see, you know, exactly, you know, how this is going to operate, you know, whether all the T's have been crossed and the I's have been dotted. And that also the road really hasn't been officially dedicated yet. So we've had some photos in the Chronicle Telegram and at chroniclet.com of road closed signs for the connected road, which is mostly completed, you know, between Broad Street and Chestnut Ridge there across a swath of empty farmland that is now, once that road's dedicated, is ripe for development. So there's some confusion about, you know, how much this $5 million road is gonna fix the traffic problem, but, it really kind of can't hurt. So I know that my colleague, Lena Yost, has been in touch with Dan Reeser, who's the president of DBR Commercial Realty, who donated the land on which the road was built, you know, and has plans to develop some of those parcels back there. You know, she's been talking with him and talking with city officials. And if we have more, and once everything's getting ready to open and getting ready to if they're going to do a ribbon cutting out in this, you know, in this cooler weather, we'll be there.
That'll be a cold ribbon cutting, but a ribbon cutting nonetheless, I suppose. So thank you for the details regarding that, Dave. So as always now, what can we look forward to as far as upcoming stories go from you and your colleagues over at the Chronicle Telegram this week? I know you've already kind of mentioned a couple things that you might have in there.
Yeah, well, we're working on some more stories again about the vaccine. I think again, Jason Hawk, my colleague at the Chronicle, who also writes for the Wellington and Amherst and Oberlin, he does a lot of Wellington, Amherst, Oberlin stories, but he also does some larger county stories. Helps me out with that, and I help him out with some of his stuff. He's going to be talking a little bit more about vaccinations, and we hope to have a photographer or maybe a videographer in the room when some people you know in the county get their vaccinations. So that's going to be something that's coming in the next couple days. I know that we are working on our Chronicle Telegram top 10 list of the top 10 most, you know, most impactful or widest coverage stories, that happened in 2020. Ooh. Is kind of our year end breakdown list. I think everybody can probably guess what one of the more, more impactful stories, is going to be. You know, considering what we've dealt with in this past year, but we'll have that in an upcoming edition. And then I'm working on some other items that you might see in tomorrow's Chronicle or today's Chronicle, I guess. But yeah, stay tuned for that kind of stuff.
Wow, fantastic, fantastic. Well, we'll certainly be on the lookout for everything you and everyone else at the Chronicle has coming our way this week, especially regarding those vaccines. I'm sure we'll see some very good stories, interesting stories coming out of that. So that brings us to the end here, Dave, in my favorite portion of the week. What do you have for us in the way of scanner stories?
Well, I'll give you one again from our friends over at @NEO_scan, Northeast Ohio Scanner on Twitter. Dateline North Olmsted, limo driver just tried to drop off a highly intoxicated woman at a hotel. She doesn't have an ID, so they won't rent her a room. She's currently in the parking lot with her pants down. The patron, not the limo driver.
He turned and handed her off and said, "Here, you run the ball. I'm done. I'm taking a seat on the bench." Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, he really just had enough of that, I suppose. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, Dave, thank you so much for the entertaining Scanner story. As always, those are always a treat. And yeah, shout out to our friends over there at NEO_Scanner. Always have our backs with the funny, intriguing stories. And yeah, we'll be on the lookout for everything from you and everyone at the Chronicle this week. So thank you again for the time here on the Local Beat. I hope you and your family have a very, very happy holiday weekend here. And hopefully we'll be able to catch up next week.
Sounds good. A happy holidays, Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, and happy Hanukkah as well to our Jewish friends out there. And just be safe and be healthy, and we'll see you again soon.